Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Internet.
Good day, Trisha Hershberger.
Good day, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. Good to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me back. I'm very, very excited to be here to chat tech with y'all today.
Oh, we're excited to have always. Especially because
it's been a minute, hasn't it?
Cloudy in this Los Angeles area today, and Trisha brings the sunshine. Mm-hmm.
I try my best. Sarah, I think last time I was on, you were not here that day. So I feel like we're just passing ships in the night.
Well, you know, we're dueling today.
Yes. In a friendly way.
Yeah, of course.
This is Trisha's first appearance for 2022.
Oh, yeah.
That's just true. Been a minute in general.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to see everyone doing well in 2022, or as well as can be expected.
Depending on who you ask, it's YouTube's 17th birthday.
What do you mean?
Some people call it the 14th, some people the 15th. It was the day they registered YouTube.com. I think it depends on what time zone you're in.
Okay.
It's the 14th or the 15th. But yeah, YouTube is 17 years old.
Dang, I feel like it's older, actually. I actually remember talking about it on... I guess it was G4.
Wow.
Maybe it was the Screensavers.
Yeah, would have been 2005. So sure, yeah.
Yeah, so it was G4, and it was it was well. This seems kind of buzzy. This little video startup. So how about that?
I remember finding out about it from my sister-in-law. I think she might have still been in high school or first couple of years in college. And she was like, "Oh, you've got to check out YouTube. You can watch anything on it."
I learned about YouTube Amber. Amber Mack.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Back from when Call for Help Canada was a thing.
Mm-hmm. I do remember, and it's been quite some time. But at first I was like, "It's called YouTube. That's so dumb."
I originally thought it would just be a repository for people's VHS collections, like all the
stuff. Well, it was kind of at first.
It was originally a dating service.
It was not.
The original pitch when they created it was places for people to upload videos of themselves and
meet like-minded folk.
And you could see somebody's video pitch. YouTube. See you.
Did not realize that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I knew Facebook started with the online dating roots, but I didn't know YouTube too. The first I heard about YouTube, I was a theater major in college, and it was just where everyone uploaded their senior projects. So grandmom and Aunt Sally could watch your senior musical you put together.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember when it started to get enough momentum where I was like, okay, who cares about the name? This is obviously really popular. I should probably upload family videos somehow still never have done that. But my YouTube account has three videos on it. I'm a consumer, not a creator.
I remember when sites like YouTube and then was it Daily Motion? What was the other one? Daily Motion. There's one other video. But I remember there was just a lot of very uninteresting me riding my horse videos or just literally VHS dubs over to somewhere that wasn't, because people did want to master the I want to burn it out to DVD, but I want to have it so everyone can see. And there was a lot of very interesting short stuff that kids put up. Like they would do little skits. It was skits were a big thing. And then eventually people figured out you could put longer form. I think when they accepted longer form video, that's when it really started.
Well, Chad Hurley and Steve Chen have said that they were paying people $100 on Craigslist to upload videos, but they could not get enough people to upload dating videos. So they said, "Well, we've got a really good video uploading system. Maybe we just let anybody upload videos and see how."
Yeah,
goes.
And stop trying to drive the narrative too far. Well. Seems to have worked, gentlemen.
They did that. They made that switch fairly quickly after it started. So
that pivot. Well, I mean, that pivot.
I just feel like it would be so embarrassing to upload a video of yourself, basically the seeking single whatever section of the newspaper, but in video form. Like yeah. I would.
Oh, but all the dating apps do that now, Trisha.
Do
that.
They do, don't they? Yeah.
They do. This is now a new thing of like, oh, you know, let somebody really see you better.
I don't know. At some point, it gets kind of like the video dating service. Have you ever seen the old VHS tapes like some people put up? Like from
yeah.
And it's, I don't know. It just seems like a very antiseptic way to I don't know.
Yeah, well, you're married. Yeah. The rest of us
I am so
have to use the tools we have.
I am so glad that I don't
I'm have so to married. Do that. So if you ever run into the fact that the first uploaded video on YouTube was April 2005, the reason is it took them that long to go from soliciting videos for their dating service idea to saying, well, let's just let anybody upload a video. It was 2 months. Took them 2 months. I guess three.
That is one of the coolest things about at least this SF Bay Area Craigslist was there was a lot of things like that from startups. But I also remember a lot of startups shutting down and they would try to offload all their equipment on the Craigslist. So
that's
you could
where
get,
you
like,
get good office furniture.
Office furniture, rack-mounted equipment.
To this day, I mean, if you're really in the market for like a Herman Miller chair or something, it's like you got to follow the failed startups.
But and you have to be in the right area. If you go through the Craigslist in like Wichita or something, I doubt you would find that level of cool stuff.
Probably not. Yeah, Kansas never did anything to you.
How do you know?
Yeah, vibrant.
No. <Don't. laughs> I just didn't realize Roger had such beef yeah, with Wichita.
We don't know.
Maybe the tornadoes. Yeah. The tornadoes are a little off-putting, right?
I got pulled over near Wichita once.
What were you doing?
Speeding.
Oh.
He was trying to outrun the tornado.
Oh.
What out there? Did he give you like a nickname? Like Greased Lightning or something.
Hey
like
there.
Did the police officer give Tom a nickname?
Yeah, no, he did not. Give me
no, a, he was like, get out of here. Don't let me story. See you again.
Yeah. Charlie in Columbus points out that people were saying back when YouTube launched that it'll never succeed because of all the data costs of all that video. No one will ever be able to afford it.
Well, that was going to be my question is, okay, let's say we're not just a dating app, it's an everybody app. You know that they were kind of sitting around being like, how do we handle the load? How do we do this? You know, well before the Google days. Uh-huh. It worked out, but I could see that being something that people were white knuckling a little bit.
And honestly, Google bought them pretty fast. It was less than 2 years before Google bought them. They might have flamed out if Google hadn't bought them.
Yeah. Google's vast array of servers.
Oh,
and
I think
storage.
Somebody else just would have if it probably. Wasn't Google.
Apple. But it was Apple's YouTube.
Apple would never have bought YouTube, I don't think.
No.
Microsoft.
It's too Wild West for Apple.
Maybe that's what I was going to say. I feel like Apple needs to control everything too much to allow YouTube to exist.
They could have renamed it The Orchard or something, you know.
No.
Yahoo could have bought them back
then. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Or
well,
MySpace. MySpace could have bought
it. Larry Ellison could have bought it.
Yeah.
And it would have been part of Oracle. And watched something.
So
die.
Many entities could have bought YouTube. They just didn't.
But they did not.
Well, lucky it wasn't Paul Allen.
Wouldn't that have been funny if Larry Ellison was like, I'm buying YouTube?
Oh, and I can then totally see that, just, and then it turns it into some enterprise level video sharing thing.
It just
that is now just a feature of Oracle.
Yeah,
just would have gone in a very different direction.
We've probably forgotten the startups that we thought were going to be big and then got bought and turned into enterprise features over time. It's probably a good dozen or so.
Trisha, not related, but I love the hair.
Thank you.
It's really cute. A little hint.
I did. Underneath only.
Oh, nice.
Is a little
that.
Kind of like RGB.
And
I feel like it really might good. Be a little faded now, but it was it was red, blue, green, and kind of like there's a little bit of teal.
Was it easy to install?
No, it was not easy to install. No satisfying RAM click. Not at all. But it's only underneath. So if I have hosting jobs where I need to look a little bit more kind of old school and conservative. I can just, you know, keep it brunette. But if I get to be a little fun, like here on Daily Tech News Show, Good Day Internet, then I can, you know, let the colors out.
Like, that is like a reverse. That's like a reversible jacket or shirt.
Jinx.
Like,
yeah, kind of. It's honestly just that I've never colored my hair in my life until this stage of my adulthood. And I'm too much of a wuss, for lack of a better word, to be really brave and do my whole head. So as much as I would love to be like Snubs level, like Shannon Moore's level of hair color, that's the dream I one day aspire to. I'm just not that adventurous. So I did like,
you know, baby steps
in the water.
Yeah.
I think it looks really good.
Yeah. Thank you.
I am also, I share your fear of being too adventurous, partly because with blonde things get weird, you know, colors get weird. They can turn on you real quick. So we're going to keep it simple.
Viacom CBS has changed its name to Paramount.
Really?
I wonder why.
Just Paramount, like not Paramount something, just Paramount.
But there's already a Paramount. Are they just merging with already existing?
Viacom CBS owns Paramount.
So
they're basically taking that name and making it the corporate name.
Well, I think they're trying to make it sound less corporate. Yeah. You know, Paramount, people go, ooh, movies, fun, content. Viacom CBS, you go like, ugh, executive.
Too
Viacom
corporate.
Particularly, right? At least CBS sounds like TV, but it sounds like news.
TV. Yeah.
Viacom just sounds like stocks.
Everybody renaming themselves today.
Viacom CBS misses Q4 earnings, renames to Paramount, so no one will notice.
Well, that I guess makes sense too, because their streaming app is Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
And
right.
For people that don't know that, like, Viacom owns Nickelodeon, say, it's like, okay, well, where am I going to get my kids' Nickelodeon shows? Paramount Plus? Like, it seems a little weird. So I guess if they can let everything be under the Paramount umbrella, that will make more sense for people.
So I have a retirement account from CNET that became CBS, that became Viacom CBS, and is now going to be Paramount.
There it is.
Yep. I mean, long as the money's there, who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm laughing. I see Capalicious in chat says Paramount has the new Star Trek, so they get my money. And I'm like, I have a 4-year-old, so they get my money for all the Nickelodeon stuff. But yes, also Star Trek love.
And Star Trek Prodigy gets both y'all's money because it's for kids and it's Star Trek.
So, hey, yo.
Boom. All right. I'm looking over this. Oh, they renewed Barry.
Good. I miss Barry. I love that show.
Olivia Rodrigo signed with Lighthouse Management.
Okay. Good for you.
I like her.
Olivia.
She's great.
I like her too.
I don't know anything about Lighthouse Management, though.
She's a hit maker.
It's brutal out there.
You know what isn't brutal?
What?
An episode of Daily Tech News Show.
Oh, it's so true. Let's do one right now. Okay. Are you, is everyone prepared?
Smooth as butter. Yep. I'm prepared.
And I will count us in. Here we go. In 3, 2. Coming up on DTNS, are you a PC? Oh, hold on. I have to restart that because I realized the wrong application was there. Okay, hold on. Here we go. Coming up on DTNS, are you a PC DIYer? Trisha Hirschberger's here with some cool RGB stuff to tell you about. Plus, Motorola wants you to wear the metaverse around your neck, and Sony tries to make earbuds you'll like putting in your ear. This is the Daily Tech News for Tuesday, February 15th, 2022 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Redwood, I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Roger Chang, the show's producer.
And joining us, TV host and streamer, Trisha Hirschberger. Welcome back, Trisha.
Hey, everyone. I'm so excited to be back, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. If you would like more of all of us chatting, Trisha and the rest of us, there's a longer version of the show called Good Day Internet, which you can get at patreon.com/DTNS.
Big thanks to our top patrons. Today, they include Brandon Brooks, Hector Bones, and Tim Ashman.
Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
got a couple of interesting Windows 11 updates rolling out today. The Amazon App Store preview is available in the Microsoft Store with more than 1,000 apps and also games. Previously, you had to be an insider to try out Android apps on Windows, so opening up a bit. Windows 11 is also getting the redesigned media player, notepad apps, and new taskbar improvements. Ars Technica also noted that Microsoft said in its blog post about the updates, the new features will keep arriving on Windows 11 through a variety of update mechanisms. Microsoft is moving towards continuous updates rather than piling everything into the big service updates twice a year.
Intel has agreed to acquire chip foundry Tower Semiconductor, which makes semiconductor components for automotive, medical, industrial, and consumer electronics companies, as well as aerospace and defense. The transaction was unanimously approved by both boards of directors, and it's expected to close in approximately a year.
India has banned another group of 53 apps with links to China, including Tencent's XRiver, Garena's Free Fire, NetEase's On Myoji Arena, and Astrocraft. India has banned more than 300 apps from China since mid-2020, and many of the new rounds are rebuilds of previously banned apps. India says, On the other hand, Free Fire Illuminate had more than 40 million of its 75 million monthly active users in India, according to what App Annie told TechCrunch. So, huge market. The game maker is owned by Sea, which is based in Singapore, but has significant backing from China's Tencent.
Yikes. Is Riot next? I don't know. Apple received a 5 million euro fine from a Dutch regulator over dating apps being able to use payments outside Apple's App Store. Now, you may think, Tom, I know you told us right here on DTNS that Apple had fixed this. Yes, they had, but the Authority for Consumers and Markets in the Netherlands found that Apple's change, which does allow third-party payment systems through an in-app link to the developer's site to complete the purchase or a built-in third-party system, required the company to submit a separate binary if they wanted to do that, that would only be shown on the Dutch storefront. And of course, they would also have to report external sales back to Apple because Apple wants to take a 27% cut. The ACM found that the requirement to create a completely new binary was unreasonable, in their opinion. So Apple will continue to be fined 5 million euros each week that it does not meet the regulator's standard, though the fines will cap out at 50 million euros. They've paid about 20 million euros in fines so far. Apple says it will comply and it will also appeal this order.
It can also, you know, go 5 weeks.
No, they got
not every company could. Epson has a new long throw laser projector that delivers what it calls a zero compromise 4K picture due to a 3 LCD chip system with new pixel shifting technology. It's called the Pro Cinema 4K Pro UHD LS12000. Just tripping rolls right off the tongue. Comes with an HDMI 2.1 port that supports 4K gaming at up to 120 frames per second. So some people are going to be pretty excited about that. The laser light source can handle 2,700 lumens and lasts up to 20,000 hours with deeper blacks and a claimed contrast ratio of over 2,500,000 to 1. Now, there's no Dolby Vision for those who are worried about Dolby Vision, but Epson is offering HDR10, HLG, and HDR10 Plus, with the latter supported on Hulu, Amazon Prime, and YouTube. However, not Netflix.
Yeah, still, that's a nice bright 4K projector there. Well done. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about OS Flex. That is not just a flex, although it is a bit of a flex for Google now that I think about it. Google launched Chrome OS Flex in early access Tuesday. It's built off of Neverware's Cloud Ready. If you were familiar with that, it's very similar. Not exactly the same, but very similar. Google acquired Neverware in 2020. Flex is meant for you to install Chrome OS on an Intel-based Mac or PC for free. You just install it. And if you use Cloud Relay now, you will eventually be transitioned to Flex as soon as it's ready for stable release. There are some feature differences you may want to look into, but mostly it's the same. While Chrome OS Flex is probably immediately appealing to those of us with an old laptop or desktop that we've been wondering what to do with, it's also meant to appeal to businesses and organizations like schools. Among the features of Flex are network deployment, so you can push it out to a bunch of devices at once, the ability to set user policies and manage updates remotely, and IT controls that can do things like prevent data loss if a device is lost or stolen. So it's meant for enterprise management. That's why Flex can be free. Enterprise clients pay for the management of Chrome OS. And the idea is to keep them happy by extending the life of their own old gear and keeping them in the system. Still, if you want to try it out on your own, you'll need to fill out a form. And then you'll get an email, which will include installation instructions, certified compatible device list, and of course, the download of Chrome OS Flex itself. The way they suggest installing it is to create a bootable Chrome OS Flex USB drive. So just create a bootable USB drive. You'll put Chrome OS Flex on, plug that into your Mac or PC. You might have to go into your BIOS to install from USB. And from there, you can deploy it to other devices, either by putting USB in other devices or doing the network deployment. Chrome OS Flex has the same code base as Chrome OS, so it should feel and look the same, though it is an early release, so they say expect bugs, and not every feature works on every type of hardware. The features like Google Assistant need a certain level of hardware to be able to work. There are no plans to include Android app support at this time, a few other things that aren't included, but mostly, Sarah, this is kind of a cool way to put a free OS on a machine, and certainly a boon to organizations who have aging hardware that don't want to spend money on upgrading.
No kidding. And, you know, I know, Tricia, you have young kids, so please weigh in on this. But I don't, but I have a couple old machines laying around, and with so many families who have had to make use of the fact that we're all home and kids have to be in school and be interacting with other kids. I know some of my friends who also have young kids have said, you know, if this just worked a little bit better, you know, we'd all be in good shape. You know, we don't have a computer at the house that is even capable of the stuff that the school needs from us, et cetera. So yeah, it's not just about schools, but I think this is, you know, it gives new life to older hardware that isn't dead yet.
Yeah, I'm with you, Sarah. I absolutely love the idea of being able to kind of recycle your old tech, but in a more kind of reuse type of way. And it does, when it comes to kids, Chromebooks are where it's at. I mean, for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, when you have a really young tech user, the not having to worry about drivers, not having to worry about viruses installing themselves on the machine, not having to worry about kids downloading and playing games instead of doing their homework. Like, there's a lot of benefits to having a Chromebook for a child. And now, of course, like you were saying, Tom, there's going to be differences between Chrome OS Flex and getting an actual Chromebook right out of the box. But as someone that has lots of gadgets lying around my house, I don't want to have to buy brand new for my little guy. If I can just put Chrome OS Flex on like an old gaming laptop and call it a day, that's awesome. Plus, it opens your options as far as gifting old hardware. I like to get anything I can rather than just like take it to a recycle program. I'd rather like take my old consoles to the local hospital children's ward, for example, or, you know, completely factory reset an Android tablet and install like baby monitor type apps on it, or, you know, like make these things, I guess, is upcycle the right term then? Maybe make these things reusable for someone else in your life that might have a different set of needs than you. I think it's awesome. And the fact that right now Chrome OS Flex is free, two thumbs up for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great reduction of e-waste to do this. I wouldn't be surprised to see Microsoft pushing something like this as well. They've got a lightweight version of Windows that they could do something similar with. So yeah, the more the better. Doubt we'll see Apple doing, you know, exactly this, but who knows? You never know. Speaking of Chrome OS, though, 9 to 5 Google has a first look at an Android 13 developer preview build that will allow cross-streaming from Google Pixel phones to browsers on Chromebooks. So even if you don't have Android support on your Chromebook, you could do this if you had a Pixel phone. 9 to 5 Google was even able to run the web app on Windows 11, not just on Chrome OS. So that's kind of cool.
Let's talk about earbuds, shall we? You know, people like the earbuds that they like. Certain earbuds work for folks and other earbuds do not. I'm a fan of in-ear earbuds, but not everybody is. Sony created a new open style earbud that might appeal to you. They're called the Link Buds. They go for $180 and they fall somewhere between the company's premium 1000 XM4s and the WF C500 buds. So kind of in the middle there. They have a much easier brand name to remember as well. You can call them the WFL900. That's the official name. We'll call them Link Buds for the purposes of this conversation. They come in either dark gray or white. They have a donut style hole that's cut right into the middle of the section. And that is a little bit interesting. It goes into your ear, But your ear has a, there's a pass through. There's an air pass through that is involved. Some folks say it actually makes wearing them more comfortable because not only are you not shoving something in your ear, but it's kind of connecting to the outer part of your ear. Again, it'll appeal to a lot of folks who don't like that in-ear earbud experience, kind of like earplugs. You either like them or you don't. Blocks out too much of the real world sound for a lot of folks, but they still fit snug. So much that Sony has you tap the skin in front of your ears while you're wearing them to pause music or skip tracks or adjust volume, all the things that you would do with your earbuds. So they're, you know, they're pretty sensitive. The Verge also notes that the style makes heavy bass less possible because, again, it's kind of not going into your ear. Voice quality is very good, but with just 5.5 hours of battery life on a single charge, a lot of folks will say, well, that's not sufficient enough for everyday use. Trisha, but where do you stand on earbuds?
I mean, earbuds are such a personal experience, and I was reading recently that the shape of everyone's ear is different, and so you're actually going to get different sound out of different buds based on your ear shape, and that's why you might have some people swear by a certain brand's buds, and the next person sitting next to them could absolutely detest the sound quality coming out of those buds, because it has so much to do with how sound reverberates in our actual ear canal, which is just fascinating. Some people are going to prefer an open ear design. Some people prefer the completely closed design, like you were saying, Sarah. And I mean, then, and that's just for how the sound sounds to you, open versus closed. And then, of course, there's also how it feels in your ear if it falls out, if you like kind of the hook design that goes over your ear, or if you're fine with it just plugging right in there. And then some people, you know, go for like the jawbone conducting technology. But I really do believe it's a personal experience. I get to try out a lot of different buds in my time, you know, kind of doing various tech correspondent type work. And the only buds that I personally don't care for are the ones that are so beefy that they fall out of my ear. I'm also a hobbit-sized human, so it could just be me. but yeah, when they're too beefy, even though the sound quality is usually a little bit better, if they fall out, it doesn't help me. Tom, how do you feel about buds?
Yeah, I have luckily not run into problems with earbuds falling out, but I know so many people that do that. I think this is one of the biggest advantages to the Link Buds is you got to look at the picture to really understand it, but they go in your ear and then they have a little thing that kind of props out and props them up, and it doesn't matter what shape your ear is in, they're going to be in there. Now, not everybody's going to like them because the sound is not going to be the same, but since they're open air design anyway, it doesn't matter if there's a little propped up there, right? It's still going to sound the same. The look actually reminds me of some earplugs I use when I go to concerts, except, you know, for those, the circular hole is meant to pull them in and out of your ear rather than be in the ear like the Sony ones. I am looking for new earbuds because I've had AirPods Pro and something inside got a little bent and they buzz, and I just don't feel like it's worth it to take them back and get them fixed. I probably should, but they're not in the warranty anymore because they're old. And so I don't know if these are what I want, because I do want some of that ability to be like, yeah, noise cancel, yeah, not. And these kind of take that choice away. But I'm fascinated with that tapping on the skin to, you know, to control them.
Right.
Not for any practical reason, just because it looks cool. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And apparently it really works.
Well, and they're sensitive enough that you can do that, which is pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I'm still a Jabra 65T user. I've loved them since I did a Live With It segment several years ago. There are updated models of the Jabras. I just haven't gotten any. And I don't mind that in-ear experience. In fact, I'm kind of an earplug fan in general, but I know not everybody feels that way. And it's cool that Sony is saying, all right, well, we're going to give you some options. You definitely get passed through on real world audio because it's a donut, right? We're not actually plugging your ear up. But you do miss out perhaps on certain audio quality. It depends on what you're listening to.
Yeah.
You know, for a podcast, I would never care. For music, I would.
And I'm just going to bring up quickly before we move on to the next topic of conversation, because Tom, you shouted out the AirPods, but I'm like, for my Android friends out there, I have both the Samsung Buds 2 currently that I'm testing, as well as the Pixel Buds. And I got to say, Pixel Buds, for me, for my ear type, there we go, are totally where it's at. I like these. They're my faves.
Nice.
Well, if you're in the market for earbuds and battery life is of utmost importance, you're wearing them all day, you're talking on the phone, you're doing all the things that you might want to do, Audio Technica has a new pair of wireless earbuds that might appeal to you. Again, great name. ATHCKS50TWs. And they go for $200. That's at the high end of earbuds. But they give up to 20 hours of audio playback. This is according to the company. And 15 hours when using the Buds active noise cancellation feature, which that brings it down for all companies. But 15 hours is still pretty solid. Audio Technica also says that battery life can reach up to 50 hours when you're using the earbuds with your charging case. All the charging cases will give more life. But 50 hours is pretty good. Pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. By comparison, if you look at the Beats Fit Pro, offers 6 hours of continuous playback with noise cancellation. Samsung's Galaxy Buds Pro and Sony's, that's the top of the line, WF-1000XM4 earphones that I mentioned earlier, both offer 5 hours of playback. So, you know, it's coming down a bit. And Apple's AirPods Pro only offer 4.5 hours with noise canceling enabled.
That's pretty good battery life then on those.
Sure. It's you know, I haven't tested it personally, but boy, that would be great.
All right. Let's talk augmented reality. Augmented reality glasses need chips and modems and a power source somewhere. And if you put that in the headset, it gets bulky. So designers often use a phone, which may not be really designed for it, or some pocket or clip on your belt. Motorola and Verizon want you to wear it around your neck like you're at a conference, or if you raised Catholic like I was, a scapular. Motorola and Verizon announced a 5G neckband on Tuesday. Brian Meekum of Verizon told Engadget, "We're making 5G wearable." Product photos show the neckband hangs like a lanyard, with a cable connecting a small pendant that hangs down in front, and then there's a module on the back. The front pendant weighs 100 grams. That's where the Snapdragon 8 Gen 1 chip, the 5,000 milliamp hour battery, the SIM card slot, the gyroscope, the accelerometer, GPS, and barometer are all. Most of it's in the front. The back module is 75 grams. That just has stereo speakers in it. The magnetically attached cable contains the coaxes and signal lines to connect it all. The whole neckband is covered in 5G antennas, so it's supposed to get great reception. It's meant to work with a lot of different kinds of glasses. The photo shows it with the Think Reality A3 headset. That thing needs a laptop usually to power it, so that's interesting. The Verge writes that it's compatible with Qualcomm's VR platform, Microsoft's remote network driver interface, and that it also has USB-C and DP 1.4 ports. Motorola and Verizon seem to think this is an enterprise product, not a personal consumer item. They talked about it being used by sports teams or schools or virtual reality theaters. We have a lot of people coming in to use VR. No price or availability yet, but they are in a lot of talks, they say.
You know, at first when I read the story, I was like, I thought of it as like a choker necklace, where I was like, this is not going to work, especially if somebody likes turtlenecks. No. It's not. It really is just more like a necklace rather than a neck band. So, you know, call it what you want. But if you're not wearing a, you know, full on thing on your face or going the eyeglass route, this makes the most sense of getting a sense of what your body is doing and what it can pick up as you navigate the world.
Yeah, I think they're definitely spot on with the enterprise approach here, because my first thought is, okay, great, we're going to wear all the bulky stuff around us like we're going to a convention and it's a lanyard or a badge. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, so the glasses are going to be really sleek, right? And obviously there's going to be different glasses that can come out with them for this, but at least for the pictures that went with this story, they're still bulky glasses. So I thought, you know, okay, I feel like with the consumer market, the big deal with AR, if you're going to go the AR glasses route, is making it fashionable, like making it something people actually want to wear as well as functional. But I don't know that we're quite there yet. So for enterprise purposes, I think AR is the bee's knees, you know, for helping to train surgeons or people operating heavy machinery, or I've seen AR teach people how to do public speaking. Like, all of this is awesome. But in those use cases, people won't mind wearing a big badge modem around their neck. So that's awesome.
Yeah, that, I had the exact same reaction, especially when I read about the speaker on the back. I'm like, why would you want that? Nobody wants that. But then the amusement park was the one that got me. Like, oh, you're going on a virtual roller coaster. They have those already. I can see them handing these to everybody, putting them over everybody's head as they start the ride. Then the speaker in the back, obviously now it makes sense. Okay. Or if it's virtual laser tag or whatever you're doing. So yeah. If you're looking at this saying, I never want to wear one of those, you won't have to if you don't want to. I don't think it's for you to just walk around your neighborhood with. Oh, we'll see. Folks, we love to hear from you. We ask if you got a couple minutes, and only a couple minutes, to fill out our latest survey. Let us know what you think of the show. It helps us make it better. So tell us what you think is working or not working about DTNS. Head over to dailytechnewsshow.com/survey. Really, we'll only take you a few minutes, just a few questions. dailytechnewsshow.com/survey.
Well, Tricia, you are fresh off of hosting Corsair's announcements this morning, including a new case, among other things. We were kind of excited when we read PC Mag described the Corsair 5000T RGB mid-tower PC case as smooth with easy cable management. Music to our ears. So what else can you tell us about the announcement?
Yes, it was so fun getting to kind of unveil that this morning to the world. So the 5000T is a mid-tower case, and it is a very premium, like, top of the line case that came out from Corsair. And it basically has a lot of components that some PC build enthusiasts might purchase separately to put in their case, but already put in your case in a way that A, makes the build a lot easier, and B, is styled to look pristine together. So it's a mid-tower case with 208 individually addressable LEDs, three included LL120 RGB fans. It includes the Commander Core XT already. It fits multiple 360mm radiators, as well as it has these really nice cable management options in the back. So you're getting a lot of things that one would expect out of a more premium and high-end case. But yeah, it ships with, like I said, three of the LL120 RGB fans already built in. And there's these really cool lighting accents that they accent like the curves and the architecture of the case itself. And it just looks really sleek. It comes in black and white as of right now. And of course, it's Corsair, so everything can be controlled via IQ software. So there's certain things you can do with that specific combination. Like, for example, you could set your entire PC to glow a certain color if certain components are getting too hot. So you could see in a moment's notice if there's an issue, rather than having like a temp control window or something like that up in the side, which could obviously be very useful for people who love overclocking, or if you're streaming and just need to catch something out of the corner of your eye, if it's positioned where my PC is, et cetera. That's really cool. So, I mean, you could go out certainly and buy all of the RGB fans, the lighting strips, and, you know, put everything in there individually yourself. Or if you want kind of that more premium experience where it's all orchestrated for you, the 5000T is really built from the ground up specifically for that. And I know not everyone is a huge RGB fan. I like RGB, but for me, when it comes to DIY PC builds, I'm happy to see all the RGB, not because I think RGB should be for everyone, but because I love the idea of customization in the PC build world. So if you want to turn off half those RGB zones, you totally can. Or if you want to build a super sleek white and purple build or something like that, you can set them all to that. Or if you're like me and you like the unicorn vomit RGB everywhere in your life, then you can also do that. But making it your own is one of the things that's so special to me about DIY PC building, because you're really custom crafting it for your needs. So in my opinion, the more options, the merrier. Which, speaking of that, the other thing we revealed in the Corsair live stream this morning was all about RGB, the LC100, which are these lighting panels that a lot of people in stream chat were asking if they were nano leafs, but they're actually significantly smaller. They're these tiny little triangular LEDs that magnet into the case. So I'll use my PC as an example, kind of off to the side. If you don't have a liquid cooling reservoir, if you're not doing that, you have kind of this empty artist's canvas, if you will, with which you can light things up. And a lot of like GPUs don't have built-in lighting, so you could make your GPU look really shiny. That's cool. And of course, all of that's controlled through IQ as well. So it's
you're talking about inside the case. You just magnet this thing up to the side of the wall. That's cool.
Yeah, and it bends at each LED, so you can have it like crawling up your PSU shroud, or you know, and you can put it in all different configurations. Like we kind of did like a very silly design challenge. I made a kind of big Triforce out of mine with different colors. Someone else made a dinosaur. Someone else made like a little cat. So it's all about customizing your build and really making it your own. And that was something that I don't think anyone's really seen before. Like, we've seen nanoleafs be on your wall in your battle station room, but never something that's actually meant to go inside your PC. So that was kind of cool. Those were some of the highlights for me of the event. I don't know if either of you got a chance to check it out.
Yeah, I actually it's been a while since I built a PC myself. And part of that is because I can still feel the scrapes and cuts of trying to shove all the cables in there. So the cable management on this looks really good. The PC Gamer article about this convinced me that this is probably one of the better cable management systems out there. So if you're into cable management, you might want to take a look at it.
Yeah, it's super nice. Sarah, I don't know how into the DIY PC build world you currently are, or if you still mess.
Oh, I mean, listen, it's been a while as well for me, but I am into lighting. Lighting is my jam. In fact, I forgot to turn on my light behind me on the show today. So whatever. But yeah, I think this looks really slick.
All right. Well, Trish, thanks. Appreciate you giving us the scoop on that. They're pretty. Yeah, I like those lights.
It's pretty. Yeah, it's so pretty. Really fun.
All right. Let's check out the mailbag.
Let's do it, Tom.
Reed Fischler sent us this story from IT News in Australia. Australia's NBN operates satellite internet called SkyMesh through its SkyMuster satellite network. And on December 21st, last year, 40% of Australia's NBN SkyMuster users were knocked offline for about 7 hours. And in fact, some of them didn't get back online for 2 weeks. Now, you may say, okay, Tom, you talk all the time about how you don't talk about outages. Why are you talking about this one? Well, it's because NBN announced Tuesday it believes the outage was caused by a micrometeorite hitting one of its satellites. The satellite's optical recognition tech saw meteorite activity, and the satellite is no longer pointed where it used to be. So that seems to indicate it got hit by something and knocked it out of alignment. And then there was a configuration error in some of the customers' reception boxes that caused it not to be able to mitigate. That's why some people were only down for 7 hours while other people out for 2 weeks. There was another error involved there. But if you had meteorite on your bingo card of possible ISP outages, well, mark it, because we had a meteor-caused outage, which I thought was very interesting.
Man, satellites have had quite a week, really. Entering the atmosphere, bad for many satellites.
Yeah,
meteorites, also bad. Yeah, for sure. Also, and if you have anything that you'd like us to talk about on a future show, any feedback you have on a previous show, please do send it our way. Your emails make us smarter. feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We also want to extend a special thanks to Kepper67, who's one of our top lifetime supporters for DTNS. Thank you for all the years of support, Kepper67. Woo-woo.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Kepper. Late when you play. Just for that,
right.
Kepper, we're giving you 2 rounds.
When the audience just gasps,
especially because Kepler's been
silent
with us,
for a minute
from the very beginning too. So good to appreciate him.
Absolutely. Also, thanks to you, Trisha Hershberger, for being with us today. Let folks know where they can keep up with all that you do.
No, thank you guys so much for having me. It's always such a joy to come and chat tech with y'all. If you want to follow me on the socials, I am that girl Trish with no I in the girl, so it's just that GRL Trish. And then on Twitch and YouTube, it's just /Trisha Hershberger, just in the name. That's it. I'll be streaming on Twitch a little later today, doing an indie game showcase for those of you who enjoy indie games. And my MO is generally gaming related, PC gaming related tech, and passionate about games development. So if you like that stuff, come find me online.
Well, you are a hardworking woman, and we really appreciate it. And so, yes, if you're not following Trish on all the socials, do so now. Do it now. We're also live on this show Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern. That's 21:30 UTC. And you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live. We are back doing it all again tomorrow with one Scott Johnson. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
That was great. Thank you, Trish.
And not one mention of Metamates.
What's Metamates?
It's Meta's new thing. When you have friends on Meta, they're your Metamates.
Oy.
Oh, I hate it.
Metamates.
I do too.
I just, the whole Meta thing, I'm like, everyone knows VR chat and Second Life exists, right? But I guess not. I guess not everybody knows.
Naming conventions. You're never going to please everybody, but boy, I don't know. I don't know, y'all.
Metamates.
It's getting silly.
Metamates sounds not literally, but figuratively, like the bottom of the barrel, like lowest common denominator that everyone sitting at a table, like sitting at the same table, like, yeah, I could live with that. You know, just kind of shrugs, like, all right.
Yeah.
Metamates. How many metamates do you have? To me, like, it's some kind of digestive aid.
Like,
that's a very generous description, because I had something last year when you said medical aid.
Well, the thing with mates is, like, in certain contexts, you're like, yeah, friends, got it.
My doctor recommends metamates.
Yeah, you're like, mates? I don't want any mates. Get out of here. You're metamates.
Yeah, mates, I don't know. I think like going out with your buddies, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
I like mates. You're right. Like, hey, mate. Yeah, me and my mates head down to the pub. Yeah, I'm all right with that. There's something about pairing it with meta. Maybe it's the alliteration.
Mm. Maybe because we now are just sick of the word meta and everything.
That's it. Ding, ding, ding. We have a winner. Well done, Roger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm amazed there isn't a food product called meta somewhere. Like,
oh,
meta
there probably
grains.
Is.
Meanwhile, like, Facebook has apparently just renamed the news feed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the feed. Might be news, might not be.
Might be my lunch. You know,
it's just feed.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. They're really on one today.
Well, you know what? They could buy a certain RSS aggregator and call it Feedly.
I know why. Because there's those protein bars called MetaRx. That's why. Medical digestive stuff.
Meta booze. That could be their new like whiskey blend.
It's just, I don't know. The whole thing is, I didn't mean to derail this into a conversation about meta, but it was funny to me that a lot of people were just like, let's do all the meta jokes today.
Wait,
got through a whole show full of really good information and we didn't even mention it. And that was the right call.
So employees are called metamates. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, we need people, you all to like get pumped up about the company again.
I missed that. I know you said it. I missed that aspect of this, is that we're not just talking about like people using meta, which is where my head went, because that makes more sense.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking too, is it's like the mates you meet when you're in meta, when you're in the metaverse.
Which is not so bad.
Which also might happen. Right. It's like, sure, if this goes over well, sure, that might happen.
But my sister-in-law works for Facebook. So she is now a metamate, is what you're telling
me. Yes. Hmm. Yes. And she has other metamates.
Maybe I should interact with.
I don't know. That just sounds really creepy. It's like when big business tries to be folksy and like, oh, like we're all shucks.
Well, it also just feels so much like Facebook saying, please make this work. You know, however many thousands of employees we employ currently, just make this work. Just do this with us. Help us. Help us.
I mean, it
makes sense to everybody else. And there's a lot of eye-roll-y stuff going on.
A lot of it. Roger, Tom, and Sarah, have any of you spent time in VR chat?
Yeah.
A very little bit. But yes, I have. Not a lot.
Like, can you explain to me how this is different than VR chat, except for way more corporate? Like, VR chat's funny and it's irreverence, and like, you can go in and be Marge Simpson if you want to, and like, karaoke with people, and it's funny because no one takes it seriously. But Meta feels like everyone's taking it real seriously, and the graphics are like from the 90s. It's just not great to me so far.
Well, I always think of it as like, okay, let's say for DTNS, we all needed to have a meeting, you know, an important meeting, right? And what if we decided to do it as VR characters? We're all remote, so possible, maybe helpful, but it just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Unless for some reason you have a bunch of people who are like, cameras don't work, this is a way better option. It just feels cartoonish. And I know that like you said, Trisha, that can be really fun sometimes. But it can also be like really distracting.
It could be. And also, like, if people can't figure out how to unmute the mic, how are they going to get their VR headsets working?
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Put your pants on, sir.
Oh, wait, hold on. This just in. Meta renaming itself to Fetch. No, I'm just kidding.
Stop, Meta. Just stop.
I'm the first one to say maybe I'm just too old. I'm the person.
You're
on
the
my
youngest
front porch
one here.
Rocking and saying, they had this in my day. It was called VR chat in Second Life. You know, I get that I can just be that person and not be getting it because I'm just too old. That's fine, but it doesn't make sense to me.
No, I think you're right. I mean, there are differences in like latency and resolution and all of that. That's gotten better over time. But that's not specific to Meta or Horizon Worlds or anything. That's, you know, everything's gotten better over time. There's also that phenomenon of like, yeah, TikTok. I remember it when it was called 12 seconds. But you know, some things just have to have a cultural moment where even though the technology isn't new, they just catch on for whatever reason. I'm not saying that's going to happen with the metaverse, but you know, this weirder things have happened, right? It took three times for Facebook to be the one that won, right? It was Friendster, then it was MySpace, then it was Facebook. They really weren't that different, but Facebook was the one that like caught the magic moment.
Yeah.
The thing is, you can't make yourself catch the magic moment again.
Well, and let's not forget that back in the day, when Facebook was a thing, I didn't have access because I wasn't in college. I was already out of college. So it was like, oh, it's like a college thing.
Yeah.
But you get so many kids and adults, you know, depending on your age, who were tapped into that. And how many of those folks are still on Facebook? A lot of them, a lot. But how many, you know, new kids are excited about joining the metaverse? I don't know. I'm not saying that it's a failure.
It just
sounds like kind of, you know, it's sort of word
salad. About joining it through something else that just happens to be the thing that everybody joins. And maybe it's Roblox or Fortnite or Minecraft or something totally new.
Yeah.
Right. But it's not going to be like, we created the metaverse now. Everybody come. I just don't see it working that way.
Mm-hmm.
It feels a little too like your bank put on like a town hall like kind of group meet. It just feels very corporate. Everything feels corporate. I think they should have used something besides Meta because it feels corporate. That's just me.
I mean, they thought it was a really cool sounding name. I don't know. It just, Meta is like the word to me that I don't know if everybody saw Don't Look Up.
Oh yeah.
The
Oscar
nominee.
The
tech guy in Don't Look Up. I feel like he could just have worn a shirt that said Meta and it would have been perfect.
I actually get them naming it Meta. I get that. That actually makes sense to me. I'm like, oh yeah, you can't count on Facebook forever. You need to pivot to something else. You own Oculus, you know, becoming a metaverse company. And that's a term that was already kicking around, trying to occupy that brain space for people. All makes perfect sense to me. I get it. Whether they can actually make the product, I mean, I think they've got a good start with Oculus and being the platform, and maybe that's all they'll want to be. Maybe they'll just be the platform, right? That seems to be what Apple's doing, but all the signs from Zuckerberg are that they want to own the whole thing. not the whole metaverse, but they like they want to be the hardware and the software. And I'm not sure if they can pull that off.
We'll see. The whole thing reminds me of like, I'm like, it makes me feel like Zuckerberg read Ready Player One and was like, I'm going to be this guy, the architect you mean like behind it all.
And then you have to dig through it to find the secret Zuckerberg like little token that unlocks everything.
I mean, maybe that's our future, like two generations from now. Who knows?
Just surround yourself with nothing but nostalgia and that will make everything work.
But yeah, I forget that character's name in the book, but the character who's like the architect of the entire thing.
Yeah.
It's like the grand wizard that they're trying to find. I feel like Zuckerberg's like, I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah. I mean, good. I mean, he should try to survive. I don't begrudge him that.
Oh, for sure. Luck.
No, I
why do you want to survive so badly? Really, Mr. Zuckerberg? I mean,
I guess
can't you just concede?
Just hang it up. I mean, there is an argument that like he's made so much money at this point. Like, why? Why? You know, just
you get to a certain bracket, and I often think like, why do you want to win so badly? You've already won.
Because he has.
Why don't you just go to an island? Yeah.
No,
chill.
You don't. Sarah, he has everything, and therefore. Having more is the only way to
what do you get
measure
the man
yourself
who has
up.
Everything more
exactly
more of those things better things
I am still waiting
rebranded
for
rebranded things
I'm waiting for where he gets bored and decides to start his own distillery or winery or some sort of non-tech related
I mean
product.
He's pretty deep into healthcare. It's not like he's not looking beyond Meta itself. So there is
Meta,
that
ooh Meta pills. Yeah, so it all just time.
What? Take a pill, feel better?
Take a Meta pill and then do whatever you need it to.
Then you like your Meta friends more. Meta mates.
I mean, it's meta to
mates.
Me it's weird.
Sorry.
To me it's a little funny because in many ways the whole concept around Meta reminds me of the whole Omni consumer products from RoboCop where they were just the company you bought everything from, life insurance, medical, police services, like
Prudential. Just, yeah. Should the Wordle story is probably not going to still be relevant tomorrow, Sarah. We didn't have time for it today, but you did some footwork there. Is the Wordle harder now? Is it actually? Did the New York Times increase the difficulty level?
Okay, so I was one of many people who thought, huh. I have not gotten my Wordle in 6 tries in a few days now, and have they just made it harder? Which is, I mean, it's a 5-letter word, so I don't know what a harder word is than an easier word if you're kind of a crossword person anyway. A lot of people are into Wordle, but I suspected something was up. I also have this whole caching problem where it's not saving any of my streaks anymore, and I still don't really know what's going on. The New York Times tells CNET, no. Nothing has changed about the gameplay. So a little background is when Wordle was created last June by Josh Wordle, who just kind of created this little game, probably didn't realize it was going to take off as it has. He set up each word until October 2027. So really your browser kind of relays, okay, here's the date, here's the word. That's the answer for the day. This was going to go on for some time. Now, that's written to a script. If you want to find it online, it's available. So you can spoil it for yourself if you want to. But it also means that the New York Times says, no, we have not made any changes to the script. The script is as is. Now, they can in the future. But if we're taking their word for it, they have not yet. So if you've had a couple bad Wordle days like I have, maybe you were just tired.
They did mess with the list, though.
Yeah.
They didn't make it harder. They just took words out, right?
So another kind of funny thing is, and apologies for anybody who doesn't play Wordle and is like, I hate this game. I hate hearing about it. But, you know, I'm kind of a faithful. If you have noticed, and some people have, depending on how you access it. So, for example, I go through Firefox. I type in Wordle into Google search, and then I just... You know, first link at the top, which is now a New York Times link, but it used to be the original link. You might have a different outcome than if you, say, subscribe to the New York Times and go through it through the New York Times official app, which is how a lot of people do that. So you're not crazy if you were like, well, hold on, my answer is not the same as your answer. The New York Times says, well, we're updating the word list over time to remove obscure words, whatever that means, but also keep the puzzle accessible to more people, as well as insensitive or offensive words also being removed. Mm. I don't know what those words would have been. If you looked at the script, you could probably figure it out.
And some people have written articles to tell you what those words were. If you really need to know, you can find them.
Exactly. Yeah, this is not, it's sort of like, if you want to play the game, play the game. Sure. If you want to game the game, you can do that. It's pretty easy to do it. You either consider it enjoyable or you don't. So anyway, that's the Wordle word from here.
That's the Wordle on the street from Sarah.
Yep. Oh, but I'm a faithful daily Wordle player. I have a little friendly rivalry going on with a bunch of my friends who I know through Alienware. And we just have a good time with it all the time. But I will tell you, Sarah, the last 2 days, 2 to 3 days of words,
I
feel like the difficulty's been upped. It might just be coincidental. The last 3 days are like a little trickier. But I think that's why everyone's like, oh, man, New York Times made it harder. But it sounds like from what you're saying, they were actually trying to make it easier by removing more obscure words.
Right.
Well, and just a little bit more like friendly to all. Mm-hmm. I really did over the weekend. I had, and you know, I was probably distracted or whatever. I mean, or I just wasn't going to get the word that day, but I had 2 days in a row where it was like 6 tries, didn't get it. Uh-huh. And I see the word and I'm like, gosh, I should have known that, you know, like, what's the matter with me? And it kind of like brings me down a little bit. Then I get over it. It's fine. Have some lunch. You're good. But yeah, today I got it in 4 and I was like, all right, I'm back. Even though my streaks aren't being saved anymore. I guess I just play the
streak stopped saving when they went to New York Times.
My streak.
Well, for some people.
My streak ported over.
Yeah, mine did not.
Yeah.
So here, it really isn't a problem. It's like, you want to play the game, like, who cares? You know? Yeah, I know. It's like, I can't live this way. But the bigger thing I think is, okay, you know, the streaks weren't saved. And, you know, I've been playing pretty religiously for months now. So I was like, oh, slight bummer. But even from the tab I have open, and this is Firefox, so could be a browser thing. Even the same day, it just erases everything. Like, I will get it right. And it says like, hey, want to share with your friends? You know, all the things happen. And then I'll go back to the tab. Didn't even close the tab. Or even if I did, if I open it again, it says 000. You've never been here again.
Mr. Frobaz points out that ad blockers apparently are messing with the New York Times version of the streak, where they did not with the old version because it didn't have any ads to block.
Oh, that would be a thing. Because I definitely am running some ad blockers.
That might be
At first, I was like, is my VPN on? No. I mean, selectively it is, but no, not for this. Ad blockers.
There you go.
In fact, I run an ad blocker that gives me access to the New York Times that is beyond what I might have paid for otherwise. Sorry. Sorry, Mom. I'm a thief. Okay. Yeah, that's probably what it is. I could, because I have not been able to figure it out. I'm like, this is so weird.
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't want to remember me.
Bingo, that's got to be it. Nicely done.
Yeah. Speaking of sorry, Mom confessions, for anyone who wants more Wordle and is in the mood for like a little bit more scandalous of an experience, Gary would have made Loodle. I don't know if any of you have played Loodle. It is not safe for work.
It's Loodle.
I will tell you.
It's right there in the name. So you should know what you're getting
into. There are some days that are more adult than others. But it is, I mean, it's hilariously funny. To me, I think it's hilariously funny. If you're easily offended, do not go there. But if you're looking for more Wordle, but dirty words only, Loodle's where it's at.
For those of you,
this is a place I should be.
Looked up dirty words in the dictionary when you were in school. You know, this is your game.
There's also French Wordle. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Le Mans. But I can't even, like, I tried like 5 days in a row and I'm like, my French is so bad. I'm just never going to get any of these words. It's not even very fun. Like, you got to be on the board, sort of, right? Like, Loodle, if you want to, you know, have some fun with it, I'd probably be better at that than I am at French Wordle.
Yeah, French, yeah. Mm-hmm. And French Loodle, woo, like, really.
Woo, yeah, then you're, I mean, I just, that's out to sea.
Whole other ballgame there. All right, let's pick some titles for the show. Showbot.tv/DTNS2. Here are the top three vote getters for DTNS. Stoic Squirrel suggested we call it The Metaverse Around Your Neck. Beatmaster 80 suggested Trisha's Case for RGB.
Oh.
And Larry in Atlanta, Moto Modem on a Rope.
We went with Beatmaster 80's Trisha's Case for RGB.
Yeah, too good. Too good, Beatmaster. Well done.
Woo!
GDI top three vote getters. Larry in Atlanta suggested YouTube is 17, but looks older. Zoe Brings Bacon suggested RGB hair, not easy to install.
Mm-mm.
And Larry in Atlanta, Trisha's reversible hair.
We went with Larry in Atlanta's Trisha's reversible hair.
Nice.
Did you want that Trisha's or Trisha's reversible hair?
It doesn't matter. Both are acceptable and fine for me.
Excellent. Awesome.
Thanks to everybody on Patreon who supports us. We are down one patron on the month, so if two of you could tell two other people who aren't already patrons to join, that'd be great. Also, thanks to Eric, who gave us a raise, boosted us up. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Appreciate Eric.
Thanks all the folks on Twitch helping us out over there. We got new followers, Grump66 and Rocketboy2010. All kinds of bits today. Thanks for all the bits, everybody. Lion Jim Video, Psycho Motors, Larry in Atlanta, Zoe Brings Bacon, Loki Robert, and Pele Glendale. All popping in bits, lots of them for Pele. Thank you. And we have a brand new subscriber, DJ George 3. Welcome, DJ George 3. Thank you again, Trisha. It was so good to hang out with you, as always.
It was so great.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's always so lovely to come here and get my tech fix with y'all.
Yay! You make our day brighter. Not just because of the RGBs. Until next time, everybody, have a good day.
Have a good day.
Good day, Internet.